Welcome to the Positive Communication Show with your host, Matthew Cooper, where crisis meets communication. Join Matthew on the journey of skills, techniques, and wisdom on empowering your communication and enriching your relationships. Matthew has been a student and practitioner of self-help skills and crisis communications for over 20 years. He owns Positive Control Systems, a crisis communication and intervention business, and teaches these skills to parents, teenagers, and professionals. Here is your host, Matthew Cooper.
To welcome everyone who is here for the first time, yes, you shall have a wonderful evening spending the next hour with me. And for those that are not here for the first time, but you have come back once again to partake of my wonderful show, thank you once again for entrusting me with this next hour of your evening. A little bit of a overview of what it is that I do. I am a crisis communication, if you will, expert. You want to call it expert? Fine, okay. I'm an expert in crisis communications and in interpersonal communications. I know how to talk to people. I love it. I have been called a hummingbird on crack before because I speak so much and I just don't shut up. Because it's not just a shiny squirrel. No, it's speaking 500 miles a minute and being able to talk about all different things all at once, and my brain goes here and here and here and here and here and here and here, and it's really fun if you can keep up. If not, I have to slow it down for the rest of the people so they really get a good idea of what's going on. If that makes sense at all. So being able to have this way of communicating, shall we say, is very beneficial for me. And I love it. I love being able to speak. I have, as people have called it, ADD, the attention deficit disorder. I say it's more of an additional disk drive, okay? It's being able to have that extra amount of power in my brain that allows me to think faster, have more ideas, and be able to use my brain when I'm able to focus on a project. And these days, as long as I know what I want to work on, I'm fine. If I don't have an idea what it is, my brain kind of scatters and it's more challenging. With the communication, which is my big, if you want to call it my baby, which I love to do, I love working with troubled youth homes. They're my main clients that I work with. And I work with their staff members to teach them how to better connect and communicate with the teens in their programs. Now, some of my facilities, they go as young as 8 years old. And others, they take the teens after they hit 18, now they're an adult, and they actually shift them into an adult program. So I have a variety of different programs that take care of these things. Everything from drug and alcohol rehab, high-functioning mental health, kids that just have behavioral issues, all different kinds and varieties of working there. Now, the big thing about the communication, which I feel is so important and which I really enjoy, is being able to learn how to do so. Use your communication not only in an effective way, but in a way that makes sense to you and is custom tailored to you. Once you understand how you communicate, because we're not trying to change how you communicate, we're attempting to work with you to add to the skills you already have, take, if you will, the magic that is you, and be able to then add more to it. Okay, so now you are able to take what you already have, who you are, the way you interact with people, and now become even more effective in the way that you interact with them. Now, hopefully, you're going to use that for appropriate reasons. And unfortunately, I know of certain staff members in some of my facilities who have chosen to use the dark side of the force. Yes, they use the dark side of communication, dark side of NLP, if you want to call it, because NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, which is a lot of the material we use in my program is used or drawn from NLP because it is so powerful and it works so well. Learning to connect with people, learn to build rapport, learning to create that trust between people for the relationship. Now, if you're doing this appropriately, excellent. That's the way it should be. If you're not doing it appropriately, that will have some karma interference with you in the future. So I'd highly recommend that you'll not be having the karma issues. So stay away from attempting to influence, or if you want to call it, manipulate people in a negative manner for negative or very selfish reasons. We all manipulate. Every single day we manipulate people. A baby will manipulate their parents by yelling, screaming, crying, being able to make a smiley face and giggle and coo all the time. Each one of those is going to be manipulating us into doing something. If you walk up to a person that you have never met before and you smile at them, you are being manipulative. Yeah, you're attempting to elicit a positive response or a specific response from an individual. That would be your manipulation. You are deliberately eliciting that response by something that you're doing. There's nothing wrong with manipulation. It's how you choose to use it. That's the key. Okay, so I teach these skills. I teach how to recognize different body language cues, facial cues, warning signs of somebody's getting escalated, they're upset, they're angry, and there are different ways to be able to de-escalate. However, unfortunately, the skills are not always enough. So if they're attempting to hurt themselves or someone else, I also teach skills for being able to control their physical skill, control their physical outburst through either, people call it a restraint. I have stayed away from that word lately because it has a politically charged word. Instead, we call it controls and control holds, also therapeutic holds. These are all different words which talk about the same exact thing. The controls. So we have the physical aspect, and yet we prefer to focus on the aspect. Along with that, I also like to work with parents. I mentioned I work with troubled youth homes. I also like to work with parents. I've worked with law enforcement. I've worked with military. I've worked with other different groups, including health professionals, doctors, nurses, etc. And yet, my goal for this year is to be able to begin launching my parent program. I have a couple of parent programs. One is the Empowered Parent Program. Very well may be working in the youth industry with the parents that have children within the facilities. The other is called the Ninja Parenting Program. So Ninja Parenting and Empowered Parent, very similar material, a little bit of a different focus. And yet with both of them, they are teaching parents the skills and the techniques that allow them to become better communicators, to connect with their teenagers, to be able to understand this new generation of millennials, which the teenagers were part of. I'm a single dad with 5 kids, and 4 of the 5 right now are teenagers. And so, take that back. The oldest, she has turned 20, so she's no longer a teenager. Oh, how horrible. Okay, so 3 out of the 5 are now teenagers, and 1 has gone through being a teenager. How about that? By being able to understand these millennials, these newest generation, this younger generation, which is before us, and understand pretty much what makes them tick, how you can be able to get into their heads, if you will, their emotions, and what you need to do to connect with them, it makes a huge difference. It makes a tremendous difference. I was speaking with a young man just last night. He's one of the millennials. And I was mentioning how technology has made it more challenging for people, oftentimes, to connect and communicate if they are of an older generation. He completely agreed with me. And he mentioned, yeah, and the older people, even though they may be smart, they just don't have the same education that we younger people do. He says, if I want to go find something, I'm going to YouTube. If I want to learn how to do something, that's where I'm going. I'm not going to spend $300 on a program on, okay, this is how you use Microsoft Word or whatever. I'm going straight to YouTube. And you know what? I can't blame him. Break is coming up here in just a few moments. Stick around. Back in just a little bit.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Host your show on IOM-FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM-FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the ION Radio Network.
Now, as I was mentioning right before the break, that I was speaking with a young man who we were chatting about the difference of the communication styles. And this young man is one of the millennials. He's one of the younger generation, the most recent generation, if you will. It's about probably 19 or 20. And with being part of that millennial group, we were talking about how we go about learning things and how he said a lot of these older people will go into books. They'll try and research and study. They'll go get a course. And he says, I'm just jumping on YouTube. If I want to learn about Microsoft Word or if I have a question about how to work with PowerPoint or being able to look at Photoshop, I'm going on there. And I said, exactly, that's where I go as well. I've learned a lot of my computer skills and my working with the Photoshop editor, for example, and being able to just figure things out by looking online. I'm researching. I'm essentially going through, you know, almost like farming. I'm going through, oh, look what I found. Oh, look, it's a turnip. Yeah, I like this. This is great. Oh, look, it's a carrot. It's cabbage, whatever. Potatoes. Okay, I've got all these things I'm going to just be grabbing, and I'll be able to then watch them later. I can be able to find the things that interest me. If I don't like them, oh, that's a rutabaga. I'm not in favor of that one. Oh, look, okra. Okay, I can have all these different types of interesting subjects I can study at will on YouTube. And I'm a very visual learner, so that's perfect for me. Others that are more kinesthetic, they need to have a hands-on, they need to work through it. That may not be the best. And yet for me, being able to take the time to look up on YouTube to find information or other places on the internet are great for being able to give me this information and to feed my brain. And he and I were just mentioning the differences that he sees and that I see. And one of the biggest keys that I noticed that allowed me to connect with him and every single person that was over there at the training I was going to the other night was that I showed respect first and foremost. A smile, a fist bump, something else that I recognized them for who they were, and I was able to instantly connect with them. And when I connected with them, they smiled, they talked to me, they were, oh, hey, okay, cool, hey, happy to talk to you. I'm not trying to stay into myself, I'm not trying to show that I'm so smart, I'm too cool to talk to any of you. No, I reached out, and I was able to have a conversation with every single person that I stood next to and I reached out to. It's not hard. It's not hard. It does take practice, yes. It's not hard, though. Now, even though I was able to do this, I was an interrogator in the military, so I was also going in there, okay, what do they have to teach me? How can I learn from them? What information do they have? Oh, do they know what else is going on with this training? Oh, okay. So I'm able to go, and I'm able to now do some problem solving and some scouting on my own, saying, what do you have to share with me, my friend? When you have the ability to connect with people, when you have the ability to talk to them, it is incredible what you can learn and how you're able to make these connections. I was in the National Guard, and these guys were in an old unit of mine. I saw his patch that he had on his jacket, this young man I was mentioning, and that allowed me to instantly have a conversation starter. Boom. Oh, you're from this. Where are you at? Oh, you're in the Guard still? Oh, okay. It's really quite simple. With this newest generation of millennials, one of the things they crave and they require, if you are to connect with them, they require, above all else, respect. They don't care how old you are. If you do not respect them, you do not listen to them, you do not treat them as an equal, you will lose their respect and you will not be able to get it back without a lot of work. Now, with that being the case, parents being able to connect with their kids, that's another thing that is needed to be changed. When I was younger, I didn't respect my kids at all. As I became a single dad about 7+ years ago, yes, I had to change that. And I learned to give respect, not even deliberately. It was just something that came as a natural, organic growth of my learning to be a better communicator. As I've recognized that, I've been able to pick it out and see, yes, respect is the keyword. It is the holy grail, if you will, of being able to connect with these millennials. If you can have that connection with them, if you can speak to them on that level, it makes a big, big difference. Now, I also notice that some of the older folks, some of them are very, very talkative. I was speaking to a gentleman probably in his mid-80s today. Yeah, he was interested only enough to be able to show that, okay, I'm at least taking the time to get to know you. That's about as far as I go. If they're not truly interested in you, they will make that token effort at first, and then they're going to move on to something else. That's fine. We didn't have anything in common. He and I had very different views and outlooks on the world. Great. However, understanding that not everyone is going to communicate with you the same way that you do changes how you're going to interact with them. And yet what I found consistently is if you work with the people with a, if you will, an attitude of respect and acceptance, and I'll talk about that really quick here in a moment. If you have that respect and acceptance, you should be able to talk to almost anybody. I mean, literally almost anybody. I mean, I was speaking with a guy last night, another gentleman, and he had only 2 fingers and a thumb. And this was not an injury. This was it looked like he was born with 2 fingers and a thumb. And it looked quite interesting. It looked easy. He said, yeah, I only got half a hand on each hand. Both hands were the same. And yet we were able to talk. I wasn't making any points about his hands. I was accepting him for who he was. I was accepting him or the way he was without expecting him to be different. I was also speaking with another gentleman I was standing next to later on. He had a nice beard. He was a black gentleman, had these great dreads grown out of his head. Really cool guy to chat with. He was really excited about some of the training we were doing, looking forward to certain parts of it. And I got along with everyone. Why? Because I accepted them for who they were. I did not tolerate them. I accepted them. And that's what I want to talk about right now. This is key if we want to be able to be the best person we can be. Best person we can be? Yes. You are the only one who can change you. Okay? And we must become, as Mahatma Gandhi said, we must become the change we want to see in the world. If we are not going to make that change, I like to ask, if we're not going to make that change, who will? Because usually, honestly, straight up, nobody cares about you. You may say, oh no, my friends care about me. Really? And family too, right? Yes, of course. Honestly, nobody cares about you in all reality, except maybe your dog. Cats, of course, they don't care about anybody. They're plotting the downfall of the human race and planning to take over the world in some cases, of course. No, I love cats. I've had cats before. I look forward to being able to have cats again when I move into my next place. Dogs will accept you and love you, period. They don't care how you look, how you smell. And if you are rich, poor, large, small, skinny, fat, they don't care. That's just what they do. They love you for how you treat them. Okay? With people, they're a little bit different. They like to be accepted for how they are. They don't want to be judged. They don't want to be told they're this, they're that. They're too big. They're too small. They're too short. They're too fat. They're too this. I have a 6'8" friend who weighs over 400 pounds. Okay. He's one of my best friends. And so with that being the case, I accept him for how he is. A lot of people find him offensive. Why? Because of the way he acts as a way of protecting himself. It's a self-protection mechanism he uses or has used a lot in the past. And he still does. He refuses to smile for most people. And yet with me, I can get him chuckling and laughing. We can have a great old time. He's one of my best friends for a reason, because I'm able to accept him for how he is. I do not judge him. This is how I explain acceptance versus tolerance, which is a huge, huge difference for me. If you know what a pressure cooker is, those aluminum pots that have the lid that they kind of slide sideways and it locks in place, and then on top there's a little spout where steam can come out. You put on top of that a little metal piece that'll rattle back and forth as it's steaming. All this pressure that's built up inside from the water, as you boil it, you'll do your canning in one of these, and then the steam comes out so that too much pressure is not built up. We are also like this pressure cooker with our emotions. If we are around something we do not accept, if we do not like it, and we intend instead to tolerate it, we allow it to be there to a point, and yet there's always going to be a certain amount of resistance. When we have that resistance to what is there, the water starts to boil. The bubbling and the boiling happens. Steam builds up, and we have to let off steam somehow. That can be with body language. It can be with yelling and shouting. It can be with name-calling, poking, irritating, whatever that behavior is. We're going to attempt to let off that additional steam. And if the additional steam does not get let off, we'll blow up, and we'll have some sort of a postal type of a situation, or one of these people choosing to, unfortunately, go off and harm innocent people for whatever reason it is. That is a dangerous thing. Tolerance, to me, is dangerous. Some people say, we need to be very tolerant with those around us, with our neighbors of different religions. I say, no, we should not be tolerant. Absolutely not. We should accept them instead. And the reason the difference is between tolerance and acceptance is this: when you tolerate something, you are still against it. You are resisting it in some way. And yet, if you are accepting it, you allow it to be what it is. And so if I have a friend who is of a different religion than myself, and I accept him or her for however and whoever they are, it doesn't matter to me. I allow them to be who they are, and I accept them for that. It doesn't mean I agree with them. It doesn't mean that I'm choosing to follow what they believe. I simply accept them. I had a gentleman when I was working with one of my facilities, and he was saying, yeah, but there was this girl, and she was saying that I'm a guy, but she's not. She's a girl, and so she wouldn't be called by this name. And so I said, you're not a guy. You're a girl, and this is your name. And I said, so what's the deal? Well, she's not. She's not a guy. I said, so? What does that have to do with anything? But she's not. I said, it's not your choice. This is not you. This is her, or him, I should say. She identified as a male. Fine. It is not for him or me or anyone else to tell that person who or how they are. It's a big key. Big key to accepting a person. I've mentioned before on this program, I have a friend, a gay friend. His name is Cooper. Yeah, I know my last name, Cooper. Black gentleman, quite rotund. And I love going over and doing karaoke at an Irish pub in the area. And he is so fun. Such a loving guy. I come in, hey, Coop-de-doop, give me a hug. Come here, baby. He's like, oh, honey, it's good to see you again. Loves giving me a hug. One of those, I'm going to hold you for as long as I can. And yes, he's attracted to me. Yes, he loves me. However, I love him in a completely different way than he wants to love me. And I accept him for it completely. That's what makes us friends, and we have such a good relationship. Stick around. We'll talk more about this in just a few moments.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgemere, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits, and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Show on OTR.FM. All right. We were just speaking about my good friend Coop. Mr. Cooper, I'm not even sure of his last name, his first name's Cooper, is that black gentleman who he's so funny. He and the other gentleman, they're both DJs at the club, and they say, this is the United Negro Immigration and Jockey Fund for for the DJs. They're so fun. They're good guys, great guys. And if you don't know this, that Salt Lake City, Utah, has a large number, a very, very surprising per capita number of gay people. I think one of the highest in the United States. And when I was younger, when I grew up, I was taught that homosexual people were sinners and what they were doing was bad. And I carried with me for the most of my beginning, or most through my teenage years and into my, when I was a young adult. And as I grew older, I realized, wait a second, who am I? I started questioning. It's a very, very dangerous thing to question. Actually ask questions? Oh, no. And actually say, what if? Huh. Who was I, was a question I asked, to tell somebody else who they can or cannot love? Who am I to do that? And they say, God said that this is why. Like, okay. Well, then God can tell each one of them individually if they're right or wrong. And it is not for me, if you want to go back to following the traditions of my father and my family, my parents, it is not for me to tell them if they are right or wrong. That is left up to God's hands to judge. Not for me to tell them you're wrong, you cannot do this, that is not acceptable. I say instead, let bygones be bygones, and you do what you do, I'll do what I do, and we will allow ourselves to believe what we wish. And that then evolved and grew until I accepted people for whatever they looked like. It didn't matter if they're gay, if they're straight, if they're trans, if they're not sure what they are, they're going to be a drag queen or whatever. I don't care. They're people. They're people that are simply trying to find their path in life. And if their path in life is one of happiness and love and light, great. And if it's one of hardship and sorrow and pain, then I will do what I can to assist them and be there to help them as they move through this life which we have. And yet it is not for me to tell them, you are wrong, this is why you should be punished for what you're doing. That's just not me. That's not how I look at life. I look at life as an opportunity for us to find happiness. And if we are not going to make that effort to find the happiness, then how can we be happy? How can we enjoy what's going on in life? I mean, seriously, too many people, it seems, are focused on what's wrong rather than living their life with what's right. When I heard, I was going over some material today thinking, okay, what can I have? What can I add to this training. I want to call it a training or a class. Is what I do. This radio show this evening. Like, okay, there has to be something. There has to be something I can share with them. Different beliefs that may be able to help. Okay, what could I say? What could I be able to share that would really be able to make a difference? Well, how many of you are familiar with Anthony Robbins? If you're not familiar with Anthony Robbins, great, because now you get to hear about him. Anthony Robbins changed my life when I was a young man. When I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go, and where I wanted to be with regard to me and my life, where I was going. And I learned about him probably about 1990 or close thereof. And it changed where I was looking and how I was responding to the things that I was experiencing in life. He showed me that we can have passion, and it's okay to have passion for our life and what we're doing and find what we enjoy. And he talked about beliefs, and one of the quotes which I really, really enjoyed that I really thought was great was, he said, "Beliefs are nothing but a feeling of certainty about what something means." That's it. Beliefs are nothing but a feeling of certainty about what something means. And so if you have faith that your car will start, it's a belief of certainty. It's a feeling of certainty about what something means. That means starting your car, you know that it will do so. Okay? That's all it is. And people say, well, it's truth. This is truth. This is God's truth. Well, it doesn't matter which religion you're from. Everyone says this is God's truth. And so which one is right? All of them or none of them. It's up in the air. Okay, I'm not going to say which one is right or wrong, because just as it's not for me to tell somebody which lifestyle is right for them, which gender they should choose to ascribe to or to follow. That's whatever they feel is right for them. Because this is about belief. Okay, it's nothing but a feeling of certainty about what something means and what it means to you. And so if you say this is the gospel according to Matthew, which is what I like to say occasionally just for kicks and giggles, that's what I'll say. This is my personal belief. You don't have to believe it. This is just my personal belief. To me, beliefs are also like opinions. Everyone has their own view or their own perspective of what is correct and what is not. It is simply an opinion, though. And is not truth. It is truth for you. It is not truth for me or someone else. It has to be a personal thing for you. Because whatever religion it is, I will accept your choice. I'll accept you for it. It doesn't mean I have to agree. It doesn't mean I'm going to accept you infringing upon my rights in any way, shape, or form. However, I will accept your choice. Now, with, for example, the work that OTR or Om Times is doing to protect these children in Africa, these albinos. Now, I can accept the people are following their beliefs in how they're treating these children. It does not mean that I have to agree with it. And I really admire all the work that they're doing and everything they're able to accomplish overseas to protect and to save as many of these children as possible. That is where our free will, that is where our choice comes in. We may accept others. It does not mean that we have to ignore the plights of others. It does not mean that we don't have an opinion on what we feel is right. It simply means we accept that others can make their choices too. And so because of that, our choices, our beliefs, our drives, our dreams, our hopes, our goals, our aspirations, all of those are tied together with our beliefs, which are nothing more than a feeling of certainty about what something means. That's all it is. That's all it is. And what really is struck me so much, because, you know, we had earlier this month, ta-da, it's 2016. We're coming into a new year. With that new year, oftentimes a certain amount of introspection occurs where, okay, where am I at? What am I doing? How am I improving? What's going on? I've been doing this for months before the turn of the year, because I've essentially turned over a new leaf, been recognizing, oh, you know, I can change in these areas. I can really grow. I've been focusing too much on these aspects of my life. I need to make some changes. No, it's not a midlife crisis. I'm not changing into somebody completely different. What I'm doing, though, is refining and changing who and what I am, where I'm going, and what I'm really wanting out of life. And this statement about the belief being nothing but a feeling of certainty about what someone or something means, that's what really struck me in such a positive way from Anthony Robbins. Oh, man, that's so true. And how often do our beliefs that we claim to be ours, these are ours, oh yeah, are nothing more than handing something down from our parents, our grandparents, people that we appreciated, the culture which we grew up in. What if that's all they are? And they're not right or wrong, these cultural beliefs. One of the things that I'm looking at, because Anthony Robbins, he's taken a shift over the past couple of years into talking about wealth and finances. I don't know very many people who haven't had challenges in their financial lifetime, as well as even potentially now having some challenges. I have challenges. I have friends that have challenges. I have people that even if they're doing well financially, they still have challenges, okay? So just because we have a challenge doesn't mean that we can't overcome it. And what I really like about Anthony Robbins with the research that I'm looking at is called How to End Financial Self-Sabotage. And what he goes into, it's about almost an hour's worth of an audio lecture he's going through. He talks about how our mindset is the key to all of this. Because this financial self-sabotage, this is not something that we can simply work our way out of. He said, no, you can work hard, you can work harder, you can spend more times at the office, more hours in the day, you can spend weekends, you can start new businesses, anything and everything you do for your finances. If you do not change how your mindset is and change your beliefs around it, you will keep on being snapped back, just like a rubber band. You go stretch, 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 doing all this extra work, and then bam, pulls you back where you were. Stretch, 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 bam, snaps back once again. Because of our mindset and how it prevents us at a very deep level within our own psyche, it prevents us from being able to go outside of what we feel is comfortable and appropriate for our beliefs. Now, as I was talking earlier about this friend of mine, Cooper, well, he's gay and I'm not. How is that possible? Well, we can be friends. It doesn't mean I have to follow his lifestyle to be friends with him. That is not something that I have to force on someone. It's like me being mad at somebody for eating a pastrami sandwich when I'm eating my roast beef. How can they eat a pastrami sandwich? I like pastrami, so it's not maybe the best analogy. I mean, why should I be mad at them for eating something that I'm not eating and I have my own hands full of something? Come on. That is their choice. Let them enjoy what they choose for themselves. It's their own prerogative. Please. It's the beliefs that I had, that I was raised with, that had changed it. And Anthony Robbins goes more into this. He talks about how with our finances, they will not change unless your beliefs change. And then how to change is we have to understand that there is a link between pleasure and pain. He says we will move away from pain and move towards pleasure. By understanding that, we can then begin to eliminate some of these self-sabotage issues. Now, this is not just for finances. Okay, he has turned it to finances. This is for anything. If a person, I have friends that are smokers, those that refuse to give up smoking, why do they choose to refuse to give it up? Because it is giving them something that they're able to receive, that some positive, something that makes them feel good about it. They deserve to be able to do that. Fine. That's their choice, not mine. It is not for me to tell them what to do. They already are informed. I simply accept them. Doesn't mean I have to agree with them. Stick around, be back in just a few moments for our final segment.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Host your show on IOM-FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times.
Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness and action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
The name is Bond, James Bond.
No, the name is Joe, the Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on Old Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on oldtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communication Show on OTR-FM. Now, we were just talking about some of the different things we do, yes?
Yes, okay. So, talking about how, I was mentioning smoking and how the people have found something. Okay, we're speaking about how when you have a habit or something in your life that you're doing. I mentioned finances and how Anthony Robbins is focusing a lot on that with a lot of his work these days. And yet it also is just as accurate for anything else in our lives when I mentioned smoking. Some friends of I have, they've chosen to keep smoking because it does something for them that nothing else will. One of those things is stress reliever. And they're a very stressful job, but they have stress in their life, they're in pain, they're dealing with health issues, whatever, it's going to cause stress. And that stress, one way they've found that consistently works for them to manage it is to smoke. Okay, that works for them, fine, okay, cool. Others will turn to alcohol or other, shall we say, medicinal, natural, organic ingredients, which they're able to smoke occasionally. And that's great. It's not what I choose to do. It's what they do, and I'm fine with it. Why? Because I am not being hurt by it. It's not something that I'm doing to me. If they choose it, great. Honestly, if I had my choice, I would say make marijuana legal all the way across the entire U.S. and quit giving us garbage and putting people in jail because they had a joint. Please. Honestly, I have never even smoked this stuff, and I don't care. I have friends that have. Many of my friends have. It's not something that I want for me. It's not something I need. And so, for me, I don't care if somebody else likes it, others don't. It's not something that I should be forcing people not to do. It's not. And so, from my perspective, make it legal. That way we can get the benefits of hemp and everything else and have entire fields of this stuff growing faster than trees, making better paper, more renewable. We've got the oils. We've got the fibers. We've got the seeds. Omega-3 fatty acids in those hemp seeds are phenomenal, okay? There are so many great things about hemp, and it's being stymied, unfortunately, way too much because of the focus on marijuana. Okay, so get over it. It's a natural material. It doesn't take any excessive, strange manufacturing to get the properties out of it. It's not like opium where you have to actually scratch the heads of the poppies and be able to collect it and then dry it. No, it's not anything like that. It's just simply a plant. So from my perspective, quit making a big deal over it. Get over it and let's move on to something more important, like how we're going to be able to save the people that are having issues in this country rather than punish those who are attempting to have a little bit of recreation and relaxation. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox. That's just my personal opinion. All right, so moving onwards. As I was mentioning, if a person smokes, they're doing it for a reason. It gives something to them. And so part of this process, which Anthony Robbins goes through, Anthony mentions, okay, the first step, he says, is write down all of the pain that's being caused by this issue. So, for example, if it's smoking, the person really wants to smoke, but they just can't seem to knock it no matter what they do. They just keep on going back to it. Okay. All right, cool. So what would you write down? Well, I stink. I smell constantly of old, stale smoke. I've known clean smokers and I've known dirty smokers. The clean ones, honestly, unless you smell their breath right after they've been smoking, you can't even tell they smoke. And then there's the others that smell like stale smoke and they haven't washed in a week is what they smell like. So there's a variety there. It costs money. It constantly is costing you, what, $5, $6, $7 a pack, depending on what you smoke and how often and where you are in the States. Okay, that's expensive, especially if you're going through one or two cartons a week or a month. Come on, that's going to get really expensive. What else? Over the course of a year, even more expense. So that's something else you could mention. You could mention that you're constantly having to whiten your teeth, or you could mention that your breath when you wake up in the morning smells like you woke up and something died on your tongue. There's just a variety of things that you could now put there for the smoking. Like I said, some smokers are much more fastidious. They chew gum right afterwards, and unless you're right next to them, you really can't even tell they're a smoker. They'll also wash their hands because the nicotine and the smoke sticks to the skin and the oils, and you're able to smell that on their skin. If they're a heavy smoker, it'll also come out of their pores. And so there's all these different things. You can write down the negatives, okay, all the pain, because like I said, we move away from pain and towards pleasure. So if you're able to create a perspective of there is pain associated to this, whatever it is, say it's smoking, then if you can now give your brain a direction towards pleasure, it'll move away from the pain to move towards pleasure. So the second step is to find out what you think or associate about, for example, smoking. Okay? And then you put in there, okay, well, it stinks, it tastes bad, the looks on people's faces when they smell me as I walk past, whatever it may be from the smoking aspects, okay? Or they may not like the jitters they get when they haven't been able to get a smoke for a while, or the withdrawals, oh, the horrible withdrawals that they have. Those could also be an issue. So these are the negative things. And then you see the next one is remember hearing something or the things that were said about whatever your issue is, your challenge is, say smoking, like I mentioned still in this case. It can be finances, it can be homosexuality. As I mentioned when I was younger, how my parents were very much anti-gay and anything homosexual, that was horrible. Okay, that's something I heard when I was a child. And so you go back and now look at what you were doing when you were a child. And all of a sudden you understand, oh, this is tied in long time ago. I've been hearing these things in the back of my head. I was programmed to believe this way back when. And that's the way I'm acting this way. This is the reason why I'm treating people this way. Oh, that makes sense. Did you get it? And so that way you'd start talking about what your parents said about it. Say, for example, smoking is a dirty habit. Smoking is only for poor people. Whatever it may be. I mean, it's not poor people. It's not the only thing. I mean, all the 60 years ago, oh, that was the coolest thing you could do. The Marlboro Man, dude, the guy was awesome. He was that sexy cowboy that was smoking his Marlboro cigarettes. Yeah. He was awesome, and he was someone that was showing how cool it can be to smoke. And even before that, you had movie stars who were smoking. The change in the culture over time has shifted with smoking. It doesn't mean it's good or bad or indifferent. It's just what it is. Yes, people have health problems associated with it. Okay, that's a choice. Nobody shoved them in their mouth and said, "You smoke now or die." I kind of doubt that happened. They were probably influenced by parents, friends, peers, etc., that caused them to take it up as a choice. All right? So with that, as that step three, remembering what was said when you were young, growing up, about the smoking. And then number four is write down how your life would be better if smoking wasn't an issue. Okay? If you had complete health and no issues with smoking, what would or how would your life be? And they'd have them write that down. So you'd write all those good things out. And then you'd go back. And the reason why we have these old beliefs, because remember, beliefs are what? Beliefs are nothing but a feeling of certainty about what something means. And so you go back to these old beliefs and you then talk about them. You'd ridicule them. Oh, you mean smoking stinks? Oh, no, no. Not using deodorant is what stinks. Smoking, I don't have that issue anymore. So I smell fantastic. And I use deodorant every day. Being fun, being light, not making that such a heavy topic to deal with makes a huge difference in taking the weight off a person's shoulders. So now they don't feel like they're bogged down and held down by their habit, their desire, their problem, their challenge, whatever it may be. So he talks about that. If you're familiar with NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, they talk about submodalities. Submodalities, so when you think of something, for example, let's look at an apple in our mind, okay? Shiny red apple, stem sticking out. You can see the line or the light where it's kind of reflecting a little bit off the top. Nice and polished, beautiful red apple. Looks juicy. You just want to bite into it. You think it'd be so crunchy. Well, there's a lot of modalities here. There's a crunchy, there's a sweet, there's juicy, there's bright, there's red, there's shiny. All of these things are submodalities of the apple. Okay. So if you want to change some of the common submodalities, there are size. You can make it big. You can make it small. You can make it close to you or far away. You can make it in color or black and white. Okay. If you're dealing with sounds, you can do loud, you can do quiet, you can do, say, a more of a bright, high pitch or a low, dull thumping. All of these are different parts of the submodalities. Also with the kinesthetic, the near and far is tied to the kinesthetic near modalities, also big and small. Whether something is more transparent or not, whether it's going to be transparent or very solid, all of these submodalities you can begin to shift. If you have something that's – you're looking at it, like for example, smoking. It's really tough. It's really hard for you, and you can see yourself smoking. You got the smoke cigarette in your hand, and it's close to you. Well, how can you change the submodalities? For one, if it's close to you, push it farther away. Instead of making it color, you turn it black and white, and then you shrink the picture, pushing it off into the distance. These are little things to begin changing how we have these beliefs. Very, very doable. And – as I've been studying about these, it's just it's fascinating. Honestly, it is fascinating to me to learn and study about different ways our mind works and how we can begin changing them, because nobody can change us without our permission. Believe it or not, even as a child, we are told things. We're very impressionable, of course. And if we believe something and we're told something, excuse me, that we're supposed to believe or how we're supposed to act by somebody who we respect – that has a strong emotional attachment to us, even if it's fear, we'll still be able to listen to that, and we can now take on those beliefs as our own. As we've gotten older, we think, I'm too smart to do this. No, we're not.
As a matter of fact,
we have plenty of issues, plenty of problems that are there and are not going anywhere anytime soon unless we work on them. Because these issues that we have from when we were children, they carry through our entire life unless we do something about them. Do you remember I was talking earlier about Mahatma Gandhi? Love the guy. We must become the change we want to see in the world. Because if we're not going to do that, we can expect to do it instead. So my impression, my desire, my challenge to you is to make those differences for yourself, because nobody else can make them for you. Come back next week. Love to hear from you. Stick around next show.